We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Gimel, in middle of paragraph Tes. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Al kein me'achar she'ena mekabel hashpo azu, because of the fact that this Oni is not receiving this flow of Rotzoin and Das, Nifgam chas v'sholem hadas gam kein. What happens is, his Das is defective. And when somebody comes along and gives him, meaning that person is giving him heras harotzon, he's giving him goodwill, he's giving him das. Just like the pasuk says to Tehillim, Ashrei maskil eldol. Fortunate is the person who gives to the poor person. The word for giving that's used is maskil, miloshin sechel. That when a person gives money to a poor person, he lifts up his frame of mind. He brings him into a good frame of mind. And this is the concept of the pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal quotes over there in Likutei Moran. Wake up and sing, you who are lying in the dust. Now the first word in that pasuk is Yikumun. Yikumun hakitzu v'rananu sheikh le'ofor. And if you take a look at the first letters of those five words, Yikumun hakitzu v'rananu sheikh le'ofor, it spells the word Yehoshua. Yehoshua symbolizes the student, the moon, the lower level, the Dori Mata, the one who receives from the rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the source of Das, and he's Mashpia to Yeshua. So Yeshua symbolizes the poor person here. The Talmud, Ki Maloi Choloretz Kevoidoi, because Hashem's Kovod is everywhere. So, Hu Bechinas Rotzoin, Kemoshikosu Rabbeinu Zal. And Rav Nosson Zal says now that the Kovod of Hashem is synonymous with the Ratzon of Hashem. As the Gemara says, Ratzonoi Shelotom Zehu Kvoidoi. Whatever a person wants, if you want to show respect to a person, do what he wants. So we see that Ratzon and Kvoid are synonymous. So when we say Maloi Choloretz Kvoidoi, that the entire world is filled with the Kvoid of Hashem, we also mean that the entire world is filled with Heoras HaRatzon. And this is why the pasuk says that the entire world is filled with the kavod Hashem. Adarabba, shom bebechinas arzius, bechinas anius, shom molei chavoidai ritzoidai. Which means that in the place of arzius, in the low level, in poverty, even there Hashem's kavod is all over the place, and Hashem's ritzoid is all over the place. Ki he'oni samuch el Hashem Yisborach b'yoser mikol ha'olam kemuva. Because usually the poor person is much closer to Hashem than anybody else in the world. As is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, this kemuva probably refers to the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says that in the Sefer Tehillim, there are three chapters that begin with the word tefillah. One chapter begins with the word Tfila la Moshe. One chapter begins with the words Tfila la David. And the other one begins with the words Tfila la Oni. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, which one of these three do you think is the best, the highest level? Tfila la Moshe, Tfila la David, or Tfila la Oni? The Zohar HaKadosh says the Oni has the edge over both other ones. David HaMelech was a king. Moshe Rabbeinu was a great tzaddik. The poor person has the edge over them. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, look what the pasuk says. Tfila lo'oni ki yatoif v'lifnei Hashem yishboich sichoi. The oni wraps himself, yatoif is miloshin, lehisateif batzisis. When an oni comes to Hashem, the Zohar HaKadosh says, kaviyochel, Hashem wraps the oni up with himself. And Hashem says to the Malachim, I'm not taking any calls, no voicemail, no nothing. I'm busy now. I don't want to be bothered with anybody else whatsoever. This is the wording in the Zohar HaKadosh, that when a poor person comes to Hashem and he wants to pour out his heart to tell Hashem his troubles, his tzaras, Hashem says, stop the world. I'm going into private audience with the closest one to me, and I don't want to be disturbed by anybody else whatsoever. And that's why it says, V'lifnei Hashem yishpoich sichoi, that when the Oni pours out his heart, there's no malochim involved. Usually when a person davens to Hashem, there are special malochim that bring the tefillah, that are involved in different ways. When an Oni comes to Hashem, there's no malochim, there's nobody. He has the closest relationship with Hashem, because there's nothing that Hashem is closer to than a broken heart. A person who has a broken heart, a broken spirit. The pasuk says, Zivche Elokim Ruach Nishbara. The Gemara says, we learn after that pasuk, that a person who has a broken spirit, it's as if he brought Zivche Elokim, all the sacrifices in the Beis Mikdash put together. That's how powerful this issue of Oni is. Now, naturally, you can have a person who has $30 million and he feels like an Oni. Not because he wants $60 million, not because he's not satisfied, but because he's humble. Because he doesn't look at the money as his. The money is Hashem's money. He looks at his shortcomings. That's what's his. Or his aspirations and wanting to come close to Hashem. That's what he really understands he needs and wants. So sometimes you can have an Oshir who has more of a broken heart and who presents himself before Hashem like more of an Oni than some of the Aniyim. Sometimes you have, the Gemara says, the most despicable thing is a Dal Geya, a person who has nothing and he's arrogant. Guy has nothing to show off with and he's walking around like a peacock as if he had everything, Chas v'Shalom. So the Oni, we have to inspire him. We have to turn him on. We have to give him Shefa Parnosa, which is Das, which is what turns him on. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, and the Oshir also has to be turned on. He has to be shown the Hasog of the Dori Mala, Shehu Bechinas Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi. He has to be shown that he doesn't know anything yet about Hashem. The Oni has to be told that he's very close to Hashem. Hashem is everywhere, even in the lowest of places, even on the lowest levels. The Oshir is the one who has to be shown, you think you have a lot, you have nothing. Because wealth, in its origin, comes from a very high level place. And therefore, it would only be logical that the more wealth a person has, he should be naturally much closer to Hashem. However, the fact that we see that that's not true, that just the opposite is usually true, that in many cases, the wealthier a person becomes, the less he feels he needs Hashem. There are people that walk around saying religion is a crutch. Crutches are for people who have broken feet, broken heads, broken feet. A person who's wealthy, I don't need no crutches, I don't need religion. My wealth is my crutch, chas v'shalom. Zebo bebechinas ribui hoer. So a person would say, logically, how does this come about? That a person who's wealthy, that the wealth pushes him away from Hashem? Rav Nosson Zal says, the answer is, there's a concept of a light that's blinding. The pasuk says, Vatecheno Einov, Yitzchak Avinu's eyes became weak, Meirois, from seeing. He saw too much. Sometimes when a person receives too much light, looks like when a person is not equipped to receive a large measure of shefa from Hashem, and he gets that large shefa, what happens is that it becomes very defective. And the person ends up, instead of when the person is not zeicha to purify himself and to sanctify himself to be able to receive the wealth properly. As is discussed in great detail in chapter 82 in the second half of Likudei Maran. Ayin Shem, look over there. nimtza shepegam hoy shiru bechilas ribu yoyerem. So therefore, when a person's wealth is defective, it's a concept of ribu yoyer, a concept of too much light. Therefore, the wealthy person, in order to protect himself from being harmed by the wealth, from being damaged by the wealth, he has to be given his instruction. And his instruction is the limud of the Hainu Bechiras Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoim. He has to be taught that you think you have a lot, you have nothing, you haven't even begun to have. Bechiras Machomis, what do you see? So that the great quantity of light should not harm him. And how does the wealthy person receive his message of Aye Makoim Kavoidoi through tztaka? Through his act of giving charity and lessening his wealth, that's how he draws upon himself the message that he has to receive from Hashem. The message of Aye Mekoyim Kavoidoi, where is the Kavod Hashem? Bechinas Miut Ho'er, the concept of a lessening of the light. Betzimtzum u'bemida, in the exact proper measure, kedei sheyuchal lekabloi bahadroga koroi, so that he's able to receive the light properly. Nimtza, shayidei tzedaka, shemechaser b'moinoi, mashpiel oni, aydei zeh nimshach bechinas horas doreimala v'doreimato kanal. So Rav Nosson says that through the act of tzedaka, two people are receiving. The oni is receiving, and the oshir is receiving. The oni is receiving his message of maloi choloretz kavoidoi, you think you have nothing? Chas v'shom, look, you have everything, here you go. And the Oshir is receiving his message. You think you have everything? Look, you have nothing. Look, you just lost $1,000. You just lost 50. Shehem b'chinas tzedaka, shenemar bohem, he'oshir lo yarbe, v'hadal lo yamet. And this is the concept of the mitzvah of shkolim, where the pasuk says each Jew was required to give the same amount. And it says over there, the wealthy person is not allowed to give more, and the poor person is not allowed to give less. Look what the Torah is saying here. He'oshir, the message, the telegram that Hashem sends to the Oshir is two words. Lo yarbe. Don't think you're so rich. Don't think you're so great. Lower yourself. So that the great light that he has, the great wealth that he has, shouldn't harm him. Whereas to the poor person, he's told, you think you don't have? Yes, you do. Look, you can even give. You're a mashpia. Lo yamit means you are not miut, you're not in a state of little, you have a lot. Ze bechinas haras doremata, shu bechinas maloi choloretz kevoidoi. Veze vahadal lo yamit, ki ein shum bebechinas anius. You're not in a state of poverty. Bechinas doremata, shum miut vechesaron chas v'shon. The doremata is being told, there is no miut by you, there's nothing lacking by you. Ki maloi choloretz kevoidei, because Hashem's kovod is everywhere. V'zeh na'asa al-yidei tzedaka kanal. And this is accomplished through the mitzvah of tzedaka, shu b'chinas zeh yashpil v'zeh yorim. It's a concept of one being lowered and the other one being elevated. Shemashpil ozeh u'meirim lozeh kemuva b'mokam achar. One is being lowered, the other one is being elevated, as is mentioned in another chapter in Likutei Moran. So Rav Nosson Zal showed us that the limud, that the lesson that is conveyed through the act of tzedakah, when a mitzvah tzedakah is performed between a poor person and a wealthy person, the limud of Aye Mekoyim Kavoidoi and Maloi Choloretz Kavoidoi is given to each person, you know, respectively. And now Rav Nosson Zal continues, V'alkei Nikroim Shkolim. And he said to us, we see this written clearly in the Torah when the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Shkolim, where it says there, He'oshir lo yarbe, v'hadal lo yamit. that the wealthy person, he must be given a message of lo yarbe, you do not have a lot. Vahadal, and the poor person, he's given a different message completely, lo yamit, you don't have little. So Rav Nosson Zal, when the Torah discusses the mitzvah of shkolim, which is one example of tzedakah, there we see clearly that the mitzvah of tzedakah delivers this double punch. It's lowering the people who think they have a lot, and it's elevating the people who think they have little. V'al kein nikroim shkolim, and it's for this reason that it's called shkolim, loshen mishkal, because the word mishkal means a scales, a set of scales. Shal yidei hatzdoko b'china shkolim, al yidei ze meirim b'dorimala v'dorimato. Through the mitzvah of shkolim, of the machtzis hashekel, we shine into the people who are on the upper level, and we shine into the people who are on the lower level. U'mamidin oison al hamishkal. And we put each person in their proper place. We put each person in their proper weight. Dahainu bidore malo meirin shalayitu shehem yodin belakusay. To the people who are on a high level, to the people who are very advanced in Yiddishkeit, to them we deliver a message that they shouldn't be mistaken in thinking they understand Hashem already. You think you understand Hashem? The tzaddik shows these people his level of understanding of Hashem, and compared to him, they realize they haven't even begun to understand Hashem. Ulehepech, and to the other side, bedorimato, the people who are on a very low level, meirin, we shine into them, shiloyitu shehem rechoikim b'yoser, they shouldn't be mistaken into thinking that they're so far from Hashem. Ulegalo islehem kihem smuchim l'Hashem Yisborach. To them we deliver a very powerful message that you are indeed very close to Hashem. We lift them up. Nimtzo shemamid shnehem al hamishkal ayosher. So in doing this, we put each one of them in his proper place. That one shouldn't think he's less than what he is, and one shouldn't think he's more than what he is. V'zeh b'chinas shkolim, b'chinas tztoka. This is the concept of the shkolim, the tztoka. V'aydezeh meir horotzoin. And we had learned earlier that the mitzvah of tztoka is what causes a flow of rotzoin, because rotzoin means goodwill. And when the Torah discusses the mitzvah of tzedakah, it says, kol nediv leiv yevieho es trumas Hashem, that tzedakah is an expression of the goodwill of the person, so that the mitzvah of tzedakah turns, activates a flow of rotzoin from Hashem. Ki al yidei klolius ben v'talmid shem dorimala v'dorimato meir harotzoin. Because Rabbeinu Zal had said in Likutei Moran that when the tzaddik teaches the two different levels, the Dorei Malo, the Dorei Mato, the Ben and the Talmud, that's what causes a flow of Rotzoin. So too by the mitzvah of tzedakah, the physical act of a wealthy person lessening from his own, taking away from himself, and increasing, lifting up the poor person, is comparable to the act of the tzaddik teaching these two groups of people. V'alkein ikruhu b'chinas harotzoin, b'chinas nedivus leiv kanal. And therefore, the essence of tzedakah is the goodwill that's flowing from it, that nedivus leiv. V'alkein ikru hatzedakah meira b'shabbos. And it's for this reason also that the main light of tzedakah shines on Shabbos. Kemo yishakosav Rabbeinu Zal b'simen lamed aleph. As Rabbi Nachman writes in chapter 31 in the first half of Likutei Moran, where he quotes the pasuk Shemesh b'Shabbos tzedakah lo aniyim. So the pasuk associates Shabbos and tzedakah. Shemesh b'Shabbos tzedakah lo aniyim. V'shal yidei kein posach hatano b'tchilas mesechta Shabbos yitzias haShabbos. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is why we find that the Gemara Shabbos, the Mishnayos of Shabbos, begins with an extraordinary item. The first words in the Gemara of Shabbos say that if you want to understand the laws of carrying on Shabbos, Let's give you an example. You have this wealthy guy and you have the poor guy. And the poor guy comes to collect money from the wealthy guy. And he puts his hand out and the wealthy man puts the money in. And the Gemara discusses the different versions and variations. If the poor man put his hand inside the house, if the wealthy man reached outside the house, whether it's considered carrying or not. Not necessarily money. It could be food or any other item. So we see that the Masechet Shabbos just happens to begin with an example of tzedakah, talking about a wealthy man and a poor person in the act of charity. Ki ikur heoras hatzedakah, shehu bechinas heoras harotzoin, bechinas heoras ben v'talmid, zemeir b'shabbos daika. Because the main flow of goodwill from Hashem, the main flow, Heoras HaRotzoin, which is related to the concept of the light of the sun and the student, the upper level and lower level, flows specifically, shines specifically on Shabbos. Paragraph Yud Aleph. Now Rav Nosson Zal bounces back to the topic of Purim. If you recall, he opened up a discussion about Purim a short while in paragraph Tes. And now this next paragraph, he's going to explain about 10 different items related to Purim and how they plug into our discussion. V'zeh b'chinas Purim, and this is all tied into the Yom Tov of Purim. Ki homon hu zuamas hanochosh, because we know that homon is an example of the filth of the snake, which the snake injected into Adam and Chava when he convinced them to go against Hashem, to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Bechinas pegam halametes malochosh lasitrachra. Haman represents the 39 curses, the curses that Hashem gave right after they ate from the Eitz Hadas, the curses of work. As the pasuk says, beitzavon tochalena. You'll have to struggle and suffer to earn your livelihood. Bechinas hamin ho'eitz. As we know, the Gemara asks in Chulin, where in the Chumash do we find any mention of Haman? So the Gemara says, I'll show you right away. When the Torah discusses the Eitz Hadas, when Hashem asked Adam, did you eat from that tree that I told you not to? It says over there, Hamin ho'eitz, from the tree. And the word Hamin is spelled without a yud. Hey, mem, nun. So the Gemara says that's where we find Haman mentioned in the Chumash. So we see that Haman is associated with the curse of the Eitz Hadas. The 39 curses which Hashem issued at that time, 10 curses to Adam, 10 curses to Chava, 10 to the snake, and 9 to the earth itself. The earth itself was cursed. And Haman represents these 39 curses of the Lamates Klolois, the Lamates Malochois, the negative aspects of the Lamates Malochois. Shemishom Nimshochim Kol Halamates Malochois Shlasit Rachra. And that's the origin of the 39 acts of work of the Sitrachra, the kind of work that's not a blessing. Shehem Lamates Klolois, which are 39 curses, Kiyodu as is known. V'alkein iker kinosoy al Yisrael hoya al shemishamrim es haShabbos umevatlen es halametes melochos shebozeh machnien umashpilen oisoy. And it's for this reason that Haman's main problem with the Jewish people, his main jealousy and negative feelings towards the Jewish people, was over the fact that they keep Shabbos and thereby nullify the 39 acts of work. They abstain from the 39 acts of work, whereby they weaken the power of Haman. V'alkein ze hoyo ikar misirosoi. And therefore, when Haman went to tell Achashverosh about this terrible race called the Jewish people, what did he speak about? He spoke about the Jews keeping Shabbos. K'may shekosov, as it says in Megillas Esther, V'doseihem shoinois mikolom, v'sdosei hamelech eino moisim. Haman said to Achashverosh, these people are a strange breed. Their laws are different than all the other nations in your kingdom, and the laws of the king they do not comply with. And the Gemara says, what was he referring to? Shemadchin b'shabbos hayoim pesach hayoim. Haman said, each time you come to them to ask them to do something, sorry, we can't do it, it's Shabbos today. You come ask him a different day. Sorry, we can't do it. Today's Pesach. We can't do this, can't do that. So that was his, and the Gemara mentions this, that this is what made Haman burn up at the Jewish people, that they have this terrible Shabbos. Ki al zeh govro kinosoi v'kasei ma'oid. This is what aroused his jealousy and his anger. Al shemevatlimes halamates melochas b'Shabbos. The fact that the Jews do away with the 39 acts of work on Shabbos. Shai dezeh doichin zuamas hanochosh. And by doing that, they push away, they eliminate the filth of the snake, the curse of the snake. Shehu b'chinas Haman, which is associated with Haman. Haman was also in that Eitz Hadas. V'alkein rotzo lishkoil aseres alofim kikar kesef. And this is why Haman was willing to give away 10,000 pieces of silver. Levatel koyach hashkolim shel Yisrael, k'mayshom razal, in order to weaken and to try to eliminate, to counterbalance the power of the Jewish charities, the shkolim, the shekels. Because again, when do the Jews give the machtzis ha-shekel? Rosh Chodesh Adar, around the time of Purim. K'mayshom razal, as the Gemara says clearly in Megillah, that was Haman's motive. He knew that he had to do battle against the force of tzedakah. Ki hashkolim shebo b'shvil meleches hamishkon heim b'chinas kedushas halametes meleches afilu b'mei achol kanal. Because the monies, the shekels that the Jews donated for the meleches hamishkon, for the work that was done in the Mishkon, that represents the holiness of the 39 acts of work, the good side of the 39 acts of work, which the Jews can achieve even during the 6 days of the week. When a Jew works during the 6 days of the work and he works with the right attitude, he believes that it's not my labor that's going to bring me the money, it's Hashem, it's the Shabbos. Shabbos is the source of the bracha for the 6 days of the week. V'alidei zeh zoichin she'ein oisin klal shum malocha afilu kishoisken be'eze esek malocha. And when the Jews do perform the 39 acts of work in the form of meleches hamishkon, then the Jews are actually not doing any work at all. They're not doing anything. Even when they are going to work, rak hamalocha nas ismei leho, but rather Hashem is the one who makes things happen. They're just there. They just show up, you know, to collect the check. But Hashem makes the circumstances and Hashem makes everything fall into place that needs to happen for the Jew to get his paycheck or to get his profits. The canal, as we explained earlier. And Haman was jealous of this. This is what burned him up, that he saw that the Jews have the ability to receive their parnosa, not from curses, not through 39 curses, but in the form of lamates oirois, as we spoke about earlier. V'rotzo levatel zois, Haman wanted to destroy this. V'ze shomar, and this is why he said to Achashverosh, look at the words here, look how precisely Rav Nosson Zal examines the exact words that Haman used. V'aseres alofim kikar kesef eshkoil al yedei oisei hamalocha. He said, I'm prepared to give 10,000 silver pieces for the people who will do the work. Oisei hamalocha, for the people who will do the job. Al yedei oisei hamalocha daika. Rav Nosson Zal says, look what he said here. He gave it all away. He showed exactly what his spiritual purpose was. Ki rotzo lahamshich daika b'chinas asiya. B'chinas asiyas malochas b'gashmias. Haman wanted to do away with the blessings of the Jews. He wanted to do away with Shabbos. He wanted to do away with the spiritual flow of Shefa. He wanted to show that the money comes only from Asiya, from Malocha that's Asiya, physical labor, physical doing. Shehem b'chinas zuamas hanochosh. This is tied into the filth of the snake, the curses that were issued at the time of the beginning of creation, that there is a version of work that's a curse. When a person doesn't have the proper emuna, when a person doesn't keep Shabbos chas v'shalom, or he doesn't believe that all of his profits and all of his earnings during the 6 days of the week come from Shabbos, come from Hashem. Hepech Kedushas Yisrael, which is the opposite of the holiness of the Jewish people, She'eino Moisim Klal Shum Malocha Afilu B'Mei Achoil, who do not do any work, even during the 6 days of the week. A religious Jew, you ask him, are you going to work? What do you mean going? I'm not going. Hashem does every person asks, how are you doing? It's interesting that my rabbi, Reb Michal Dorfman, Shlita, here in Yerushalayim, very often when he's in a good mood and somebody walks over to him and asks him in Yiddish, Vos machst du? What are you doing? His answer is always, Ich mach gornish, der Eibishter macht alles. I'm not doing anything. Hashem's doing everything. And that's supposed to be the attitude of every single religious Jew. A Jew who travels 3 hours to get to work. And he went to school for 35 years to get his degree. And after all the struggle, somebody asks him, how much money did you make this week? Or what did you do? What deals did you do this week? The correct answer is supposed to be, me do? Hashem does everything. I'm there, I'm there to collect the check. I'm there just to for show. I'm a showpiece. Rak hamalocho nasis me'eleho kanal. But rather, when a Jew does his work with the proper attitude, with the proper emuna, it happens by itself. The bracha comes from itself. Bechinas, as Haman said, v'ezdosei hamelech eino moisim. The Jews do not fulfill the laws of the king. They do not live by the laws of this, of the physical world. They believe that their shefa comes from a higher place. Umapolosoi hoyo al yidei Mordechai v'Esther. Now, who were the ones who brought Haman down? It was a combination of two people, Mordechai and Esther. Shehein bechinas Kloyes ben v'talmid, dore male v'dore mato. Rav Nosson Zal explains here, these two tzaddikim, Mordechai and Esther, they represented the two levels, the son and the student, the upper level and the lower level. Mordechai hu bechinas mordrur. We know that the Gemara tells us that where do we find Mordechai mentioned in the Chumash? So the Gemara tells us that when the Torah discusses the spices of the Ktoris that were used in the Mishkan, one of them was called mordrur. And the Targum Unculus on those two words is Mordechai, like Mordechai. So Rav Nosson Zal says Mordechai is Bechinas Reach HaToiv Shel Shemen Amishcha. Mordechai represented the wonderful aroma of the special oil that was used to anoint all the vessels in the Mishkan. Reach HaToiv Zeh Bechinas Hasogas Dori Mala. And this type of item, something, a sweet smell, a special aroma, that represents the upper level Jews. Shehu Bechinas Aye, the concept of the angels the upper level for whom we have to teach them Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi, that they know nothing about Hashem yet. Bechinas Ma Chomis, what do you see? What do you know? Rak keman do'orich recha, like a person who has nothing. All he does is he smells some kind of extraordinary smell, but he can't touch it. He doesn't have it in his pocket. He just smelled it. This is an expression that's used in the Gemara, in the Zohar Kodesh, to refer to something that a person has the slightest encounter with, and yet they can't grasp it. They can't hold on to it. And again, this wonderful aroma, that symbolizes the Jews who are on the upper level, for whom the tzaddik has to show them, you think you have Hashem in your pocket? You think you know everything there is to know about Hashem? You haven't even started yet. You've only had a slight smell of Hashem. That's it. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, L'reach shmonecho toivim. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, referring to the sweet aroma of kaviyachol of Hashem, kemavur leil behilchas birchas areach halacha hay, as is discussed in volume 2 of Likutei Halachos, of the 8th volume set, in the laws of birchas areach, where Rav Nosson Zal explains the mitzvah of the bracha that you make on psamim. Kimadregas Mordechai govoya moed moed kemuva, because the Arizal tells us that Mordechai was on an extremely, extremely high level. Shehu Bechinas Moshe. The Arizal compares Mordechai Atzadik to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Arizal says that in the Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachmim, in the 13 attributes of Hashem, one of the 13 midos is Virav Chesed. that Hashem is Rav Chesed. The Arizal says that the words Rav Chesed are Begematria Mordechai. And he shows that Mordechai's connection to Hashem was in the 13 attributes of kindness, meaning Mordechai reached up to a very, very, very high spiritual place. The Kanal, as we said earlier, Esther, hi bechinas hasogas dorimato, whereas Esther, her name symbolizes the Jews who are on a very low level. Bechinas haheoro shemeirin al kol hashoich meofor. This, she symbolizes the light that we have to try to shine into those people who are lying in the dirt. Dehainu al bnei odom shemunochin b'madrega tachtoina moed. Those Jews who find themselves on an extremely low level. B'tachlis ha-hastora, whereby Hashem is extremely hidden from them. The word Esther means lahastir, to hide. We're referring to those Jews from whom Hashem is extremely hidden from them. Shemegalim lehem shahashem imam. To them, the tzaddik's job is to show them that Hashem is right there with them. Hashem is close to them. Sheze bechinas Esther, bechinas vonechi haster astir. We find in the Torah it says that there's going to come a time towards close to the coming of Moshiach when Hashem is going to be very, very hidden from the Jewish people. And the wording in the pasuk is vonechi haster astir esponai. So we see that the name Esther represents those Jews who are on a very low level, from whom Hashem is extremely hidden. And the Pasuk tells us, that even in the greatest hiddenness, a double hiddenness, a double covering, Hashem says, it's still Anoichi, I'm still there, guys. Even though you can't see me, I'm hidden and more hidden, even though, Anoichi, it's still me. Ki gam shom nimtzo Hashem yisborach, because Hashem is even found in those places, in the places of extreme darkness. Ki maloi chol eretz kevodoi, because Hashem's glory is everywhere. It fills even the furthest degree of artzius, of lowliness. The Esther, okay, so we see that Mordechai and Esther symbolize these two levels of Jews, the highest level and the lowest level. The Esther, he hahepech mi Vashti hamarshas, kemoshom razal. And we know that the Gemara tells us that Esther was the opposite of Vashti. Kemoshom razal, as the Gemara says on the pasuk, tachas hasirpod yale hadas. In place of the sirpad, which is a certain type of plant, yale hadas, Hashem replaced it with the myrtle branch, which is Esther. One of her names was Hadassah. Ki vashti bitlo es hashabbos, k'mo shom razal. Because we know the Gemara tells us what was so terrible about Queen Vashti, that she forced the Jewish women to work on Shabbos. The Gemara makes a point of saying that was the mitzvah that she was looking to destroy. V'komo Esther b'mkoymo, and Esther rose up to replace Vashti, sheshomros haShabbos. And the Gemara makes a point of saying that Esther kept the Shabbos. The Gemara makes a point of saying that Esther requested seven maidens to be with her. And the Gemara says, why did she want seven? Shemon so bohem es yimei haShabbos. She wanted to be sure that she would never forget which day is Shabbos. Here she was going to be held captive in the palace of Ahasuerus. There was no Shabbos being kept. But Esther had a way of always remembering when Shabbos was. She had one maiden that was called Sunday, and the other one Monday and Tuesday. Kedei sheloi tishkach es haShabbos. She wanted to be sure that she would never forget Shabbos. And Hashem, in His greatness, worked out circumstances whereby from the forest itself, He took the hatchet to chop down the tree. We know that a hatchet, which is used to chop down trees, has a wooden handle. So sometimes Hashem uses a goy, a rasha, to chop down the goyim. Shehomon harosha biatzmoi yoatz laharoges Vashti shechilolos haShabbos. We find who was the one who assisted in wiping out Vashti. it was Haman who gave Ahasuerus the advice, you got to get rid of this lady, she's not listening to you. And that ended up being his own downfall, Haman's own downfall. Shemolcha tachteho Esther Amalka, whereby Esther Amalka took over for Vashti, Shehi Bechinas Shabbos Malkasa. Esther Hamalka symbolizes the Shabbos queen. And it's through her keeping Shabbos, through her attachment to Shabbos, that's what gave her the ability to wipe out Haman, to subdue Haman, who symbolizes the filth of the snake. He symbolizes the negative aspect of the 39 acts of work, the 39 curses. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "Vezeh bechinas Purim," and this is all tied into this extraordinary yontif called Purim. Ki be'emes Purim hu chiddush gadol ma'od, because the truth is, Purim is an incredible, unusual type of holiday. Ki oz bePurim meir he'ora gedola ma'od ma'od. Because on Purim shines an extremely, extremely bright light, as Bechinas Heoras Shabbos VeYoser. On Purim there shines an aspect of the light of Shabbos plus. In some respects, it's even higher than Shabbos. Kemuva BeKavonis, as is brought in the writings of the Arizal. We know that the Tikkun Ezora tells us that Yom Kippur is referred to in the Chumash as Yom Kippurim. And the Tikkun Ezora says that one translation of that is Yom, that it's a day, Kippurim, that's like Purim. It's not as holy as Purim. Yom Kippur is not as holy as Purim, but it comes close. That's how high a level Purim is on. And I once heard from Rabbi Rosenfeld, Zichron Levrocha, that he mentioned that one of the commentaries writes that in the word Purim, you have a remez to all the five most important Jewish holidays. The Pei stands for Pesach. The Vav stands for Vesukos. The Resh is Rosh Hashanah. The Yud is Yom Kippur. And the Mem stands for Matan Torah, the day that the Torah was given, which is Shavuos. To show us that Purim is a composite of the various lights of each one of these five outstanding holidays. The Afal Pikein, and despite the fact that this is so extraordinary, a high-level holiday, Mutter Bepurim Kol Halamites Melochus. You're allowed to do work on Purim. You're allowed to bake, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to turn the lights on and off, you're allowed to go in the car on Purim. You're allowed to do all 39 acts of work. Whereas on Pesach, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, all the regular holidays, you're not allowed to do work. V'hadovar tamua l'chayra. And this seems to be extremely strange. Why should it be that way? If it's so holy a day, usually we know when a day is holy, you abstain from work on that day. Ach be'emes ze ikar b'chinas ma'polas homon zu amas hanochosh. Shehu pegam halametes melochos shal yemei achoil. But Rav Nosson Zal says, this is what shows us that it's this holiday of Purim that brings about the most powerful downfall to Haman, who symbolizes the snake, which is the negative aspect of the 39 acts of work of the weekdays. Ki Haman rotzo lezgabra al Yisrael chas v'sholem al yidei pegam halametes melochos shal yemei achoil. Ulevateles Hashabbos kanal. Haman wanted to wanted to overcome the Jewish people by emphasizing the negative aspect of the 39 acts of work. That was emphasizing that it's our work, it's my doing, my physical act that brings about the parnasa and everything. And he wanted to do away with Shabbos. Gam rotzo levateles binyan beis hamikdash. And the Gemara tells us also that Haman wanted to eliminate the possibility of the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Kemoshom Razal, as the Gemara says in Megillah, Sheshom the Beis Hamikdash hoya kol halametes melochos bigdusha, because the Beis Hamikdash was the place where the 39 acts of work were performed with holiness, with faith in Hashem. Bebechinas tal oiros, there the work was in the form of 39 lights. Haman wanted to destroy the possibility of a Beis HaMikdash, destroy the Shabbos. However, his plans were overturned. Because just the opposite is what ended up happening. These items, the holiness of Shabbos and the Beis HaMikdash and the Jewish people, destroyed Haman. And the Jews succeeded in that this day, which Haman was hoping would be the day of the downfall of the Jews, this day was designated as a day where every single year when this holiday rolls around, there's an incredible bright light that comes down to the world. The light of Purim is so extremely bright, whereby a Jew is able to turn on the lights and to go in the car and to do all of those things, and the Sitra Achra has no association to it whatsoever in the world. In other words, the holiness is so powerful on Purim that even though we're doing work, the work, the Satan, the other side, has no place whatsoever in the work. Because the work that's done on Purim is plugged into Shabbos perfectly, in the highest way. So we see that what Hashem ended up doing was taking Haman's plan and flipping it over, turning it over 100%. Because it's specifically through the holiness of Purim, this day being so holy a day, which occurs in middle of the week, and a person is allowed to do acts of work, that's how the person draws upon himself the bright light of Shabbos. Because it's the holiday of Purim that proves and shows that a Jew has the ability on a weekday, when he's even doing work, to draw a light, a comparable light of Shabbos. That a Jew has the ability to elevate his work of the weekdays to have, that it should have on it the blessing of Shabbos. How? By drawing into the 6 days of the week the holiness of Shabbos through our faith, through our realization that the Shefa, the Parnosa, comes from Shabbos. Because on this holy day of Purim, we see this with our own eyes. Shemutorim by kol hamalachos, that a Jew is allowed to. He's working, he's going in the car, he's doing all of these things. And despite that, we're told that there's an incredibly bright light that shines. So this is what teaches Klal Yisrael, that the holiness of Shabbos is not limited just to Shabbos, but rather that a Jew has the ability and the obligation to draw the holiness, the light, the joy of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. How? Through his emuna and bitochen in Hashem, that his parnosa comes only from Hashem and only from the holiness of Shabbos. Bechinas kedusha Shabbos v'yoser, whereby on Purim a Jew is able to draw upon himself the holiness of Shabbos plus, in other words, a light that's even greater than Shabbos in some ways. Bozeh nizgale. By doing this, we're showing that we realize that Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is not just limited to this, to Shabbos. He's not just limited to the very, very religious Jews, to the Shabbosdik Yidden, but rather, Hashem's glory is everywhere. Even in the weekday Jews, Hashem is found. V'dore mato im dore malo, and the lower level and the upper level, it's all one. Ki hu yisborach mechaya es kulam, because Hashem is the one who sustains all of them. V'alkein marbim besuda bepurim v'noisnin stokol aniyim. And now Rav Nosson Soloff says, you'll note that in the Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of Purim, there are two extremely important items that are highlighted on Purim. One is the suda of Purim, a special meal, and the other one is the special mitzvah of giving tzedakah on Purim. Matonos levyoinim, machtzis ha-shekel, more so than any other day in the year. Why? Shekol zehu b'chinas horas ha-rotzayim, shenimshach me'b'chinas klolias ben v'talmid, b'chinas mordechai v'yester. Because these items, the suda, Purim, and the tzedakah, they represent the light of the upper level and lower level, the son and the student, the light of Mordechai and Esther. Because we had learned earlier, if you recall in the beginning, Rabbeinu Zal had said in Likut Imran that two of the most powerful examples of He'oras HaRotzayin are when a person is eating, when a Jew eats. That's a time when a Jew can draw upon himself a fantastic level of He'oras HaRotzayin. As we say in the Birchas HaMozayin, Poiseach es Yodecho, Umazbia lechol chai rotzayin. And Rav Nosson Zal says, in Breslov, the custom is that we say, Raboisai mir vilin benshin. When a person makes a zimun, people that say it in Hebrew say, Rabotai nivarech. In Yiddish, there are two words. There's the word velin, we are going to bench. Raboisai mir vilin benshin, we're going to bench. Or Raboisai mir vilin benshin, we want to bench. And Rav Nosson Zal says that the correct way, the better way to say is mir vilin, we want to bench. Because the whole concept of eating, when a Jew eats the right way, achila digdusha, his achila is called he'oras harotzayin. That's one of the times when a Jew can achieve the greatest degree of closeness to Hashem. We find in Megillas Rus, it says that Boaz said to Ruth, it says by Boaz and Ruth, it says, Le'es ha'ochel gishi halom, that he said to her, at the time of eating, come close. And Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likut Imran that this teaches us that a Jew has the ability, if a Jew eats the right way, he has the ability to achieve a closeness to Hashem during eating that sometimes can be a higher level than even learning. And that's why we find that on Purim, which is a time of this He'oras HaRotzayin, one of the items that's accentuated is the Sudas Purim. And so to the Tzedakah of Purim, which is that Nedivus slave, that flow of He'oras HaRotzayin. Shem should help, we should be zeicher to understand as best as we can the fantastic things that were said in this halacha, and to be zeicher to live in this manner of respecting the Shabbos to the highest degree and being extremely happy on Shabbos. And we spoke earlier about the three sudos of Shabbos corresponding to the three holidays, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. And to be zeicher during the 6 days of the week to be plugged into Shabbos. On Thursday we say Hayom Yom Chamishi Bashabbos. Friday, Hayom Yom Shishi Bashabbos, showing that we realize and believe that anything we do during the 6 days of the week is plugged into Shabbos. It draws its shefa, its parnosa, the flow of Ratzon Tov from Hashem comes from Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. Baruch Hashem. Hilcha Shabbos, Halacha Dalid. This halacha is based on a story in Rabbeinu Zal Sefer Sipurei Maaseiyos. This story is actually the 11th story of 13 stories, and it's one of the longest, and it's each one of the stories is something extraordinary. Rabbi Nachman had said to his students towards the end of his life that I've tried everything with you guys. I've tried giving you all kinds of powerful shiurim, and I see that you still have a long way to go, so it's time for me to bring out the heavy artillery, in a sense. And he said, it's time for me to start telling stories. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the world says that if you want to put somebody to sleep, you tell them a story, a bedtime story. I say that if somebody's asleep spiritually and you want to wake them up, there's nothing more inspirational than a story. And these stories have fantastic explanations and interpretations and Musr, all kinds of really outstanding things. Those that are familiar with the stories have an idea as to what I'm talking about. Those that aren't, Emetz Hashem, will become familiar. In this halacha, Rav Nosson Zal very briefly touches on the story. This story is actually similar to a story that's told in the world, the story of the prince and the pauper. And Rabbeinu Zal called it the story of the exchanged children, the Ben Melech or Ben Shifcha Shenechlefu. And for those that have the Sipurim Isis or are able to get hold of it, it would be very special to look into it. But Rav Nosson Zal here literally just touches on one or two aspects of a story that has hundreds of aspects to it. So even if you haven't learned the story yet or you haven't read it, you know, we'll fill in what we can. One of the basic interpretations of the story is that it refers to the two children, the prince and the pauper, refer to the neshama and the guf, which originally the neshama is a prince. The guf, the body compared to the neshama, is like a pauper. They come into this world, the understanding between these two partners should be that the neshama is in charge and the body is just there to serve the neshama, to be subservient and to serve them, to help the neshama do its thing in this world. However, unfortunately, by the majority of people, person comes into this world and suddenly there's a switcheroo. The Yetzer Hara, the Satan, who plays topsy-turvy, suddenly does a switch where the body is in charge. The body says, hey, what are you talking about? We're on my turf. This is my territory. This is here. You have deli sandwiches and you have fast cars. This is a world of gashmius. And the body tries to take over. In many cases, the Yetzer Hara tries to get the body to be in charge and the neshama to be subservient, the neshama to be in second place or in eighth place. And in the story, Rabbeinu Zal explains the trials and tribulations that both of them go through and how the neshama at one point, you know, falls so low, but eventually picks itself up. The prince picks himself up out of the dirt and out of the mud, and he makes a comeback, a complete comeback, and he ends up repairing everything that needs to be repaired. And at one point at the end of the story, he comes to a certain place where there's a throne, and the throne needs to be corrected. And he sees what's wrong with it, and he sees that nothing needs to be destroyed or created. It's just a matter of making seder. There are certain things that are out of place, and if you know what's out of place and you know how to put it back in place, everything achieves its perfection. And this Ben Melech, the prince, eventually succeeds in doing that. At one point in the story, he's shown that in order to make this repair, you have to go into a certain place. And when you go into that place, you need to see what's going on. But the problem is, the second you go in, they start chasing you. The person starts feeling as if he's chased, being chased. And he's running and running and running. And because he's running and he feels threatened and being chased, he doesn't have a chance to see what's going on, to see what needs to be corrected. But this prince, before he goes into that place, he sees something, which Rabbi Nachman ends up explaining is Shabbos, Emunah. He sees that and he realizes that if he attaches himself to that before he goes into this place, then he won't feel chased, he won't feel afraid of anything. And that's part of his ending up to correct everything that needs to be corrected. This is a brief introduction to this halacha. Again, for those that have the opportunity, if you can, this story and all the other stories in the Sefer Sipurim Isis are something extraordinary. Al pi ha'maisa shel ha'shnei bonim shenechlefu, this halacha is based on the story of the two children that were exchanged. Ayin Sham, look over there in Sipurim Isis, where at one point towards the end of the story, She'omad Atzmoi Eitzel Shabbos, the prince stood next to the Shabbos, Shehi Emuna. Shabbos is the foundation of faith. That's what really shows that a person believes in Hashem. She'kishemegarshin esodah mehagan Eden, Kol ma sheretzin lasais eze dovar shebigdusha shehu bechinas kni. We're in the story over there. When the person's being chased, the person enters into a garden and he suddenly feels himself being chased. Shekol ma sheretzin lasais eze dovar shebigdusha shehu bechinas knisa legan eden. What the story is referring to over there is any time that a Jew enters into a mitzvah, he enters into trying to do something to please Hashem, that's a concept of entering into Gan Eden. Megarshin oisoi u'mevalvon oisoi. As soon as the person wants to start doing a mitzvah, suddenly there's opposition, there's obstacles, there's a Yetzer Hara who looks to confuse him. And at that point in time, Iker takonosoi sheyam edatzmoi etzel emuna shehi Shabbos. When the person feels that the Yetzirah is attacking him, it's a concept of nighttime, darkness, like there's a darkness that's overtaking him. The person is trying to seek light. He's trying to seek Hashem. Hashem is compared to light. The Pasuk says, Hashem oirli, oircho va'amitcho, heima tamid yitzruni. And when the Yetzirah attacks a person, it's a concept of choshech. The word choshech means darkness, and the word choshech also means obstacle. When the Torah speaks about the fact that Avraham Avinu did not hold back his son from Hashem, when Hashem asked for Avraham Avinu to sacrifice his son, and Avraham Avinu did not withhold him, it says, V'loi chosachto es bincho es yichidcho. Lachasoch means to hold back. So the word choshech means darkness, and chosech means to withhold, an obstacle. So when a person feels that choshech being misgaber, the pasuk says, "Ve'emun lahagid baboker chazdecho, ve'emunoscho baleilois." That when a Jew feels himself in a period of darkness, he's going through darkness, he's locking horns with the Yetzer Hara, the most important weapon that he has at that point in time is his emunah, his faith in Hashem. Because chokhmah, knowledge, wisdom, is compared to light. There are times that the Yetzer Hara has the ability to close the lights, to make a blackout, where suddenly the person doesn't understand. He sees things going on that he can't understand. Why is it like this? Here I'm trying to be good, I'm trying to please Hashem, and look what's happening to me. And at times like that, the only thing that the person can hold on to is emunah, faith. And if he holds on to his faith for that period of time and he weathers the storm and he gets out of it, then the lights go back on and the person is given the ability to understand and to serve Hashem that way. Just as we say when we're putting on tefillin, ve'erastichli be'emunah, Viodates Hashem, that first a person has to commit himself to Hashem with emunah. A person, just like the Jewish day begins from night, vayhi erev, vayhi voker. So a Jew has to know that the beginning is emunah, and if he's willing to go through that prerequisite, that first phase, which is emunah, then the reward is that he gets to the place of viodates Hashem. He gets to understand Hashem on his level. And then again, when he wants to start in a new level, the beginning is always with emunah, malchus, which is synonymous with emunah, which is synonymous with Shabbos. She'afal pikein yamin shashem yizborach moishel bakoil ve'yodoy al hoel yoyna, so that no matter what the person is going through, the person fortifies himself with faith and he believes that Hashem is over everything and Hashem is on top. V'soif kol soif yigmar hakol kretzoinoi. And in the end, Hashem will win out. In the end, everything will be completed the way Hashem wants it to be. Ki yesh tshuva ba'olam, because there is such a thing as tshuva, repentance. V'yafal pi shehu rochek ato mitshuva, and even though right now I feel like I'm far from tshuva, I find myself in this darkness, adarabba, just the opposite. Mizgaren boyat shepoigem chas v'sholom, v'chol yoyim yoyser chas v'sholom, my Yetzirah is attacking me now, to the point where I'm actually committing sins. And every single day it's getting worse, I'm doing worse sins. Still, I believe that there is a concept of tshuva, bechinas Shabbos, and tshuva is synonymous with Shabbos, because when the Torah gives the instruction for tshuva, it says v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, you will return to Hashem, and the word shavta is the same letters as the word Shabbos, shin beis tav. So we know that Shabbos is the day of tshuva, so that in fact, when a Jew goes through a week, and during the 6 days of the week, which are Yemei Achol, the person is being bombarded with all kinds of things. When the person gets to Shabbos, and suddenly they go to the mikveh, they bathe themselves, they wash themselves, they change their clothing, they put on cleaner, nicer clothing than they do during the weekdays, and the person goes to shul, certain people who during the 6 days of the week, they don't get to go to shul necessarily for every tefillah, but on Shabbos he is going to shul. All of that is an aspect of tshuva, where Shabbos is the day that's been designated as an opportunity to do tshuva for all 6 days of the week. So that if I was lacking in spirituality, if I was lacking in ruchnis, in my kesher to Hashem during the 6 days of the week, the Yetzirah put me to sleep with all my obligations and my work schedule and my this and my that, all the running around, Shabbos comes, suddenly I turn off the switch, I turn off the switch of all the Yemei Achol, all the bilbulim of the body, of the Olam HaGashmi, and Shabbos I become a more spiritual person. Shabbos the Neshama takes over more. I'm learning more, I'm davening better, slower than I do during the week, etc. Emuna, Shabbos, which is the symbol of faith, Shalidezeh Nistakein HaKoil, through which the person is zoichet to correct everything. Ki Emuna Mesakein HaKoil, because Emuna fixes everything. In fact, Rav Nosson Zal, in a different place in Likutei Halachos, in Choshen Mishpat, there's a chapter there that's called Hilchos Umnin. Umnin means, in a sense, a repairman. And Rav Nosson Zal writes there that it's interesting that the Torah uses that word Umnin, an Uman, to be a craftsman, and a craftsman is a person who fixes things also, because the most important tikkun is emunah. And with emunah, a person completes everything in the world. In fact, I once mentioned the Ramban says that if a Jew does a mitzvah, any mitzvah, and he does it because he understands, he perceives that it's a good thing to do, it's the right thing to do, that mitzvah is lacking. The shleimus of a mitzvah is the faith in the mitzvah. The fact that I believe implicitly that I do not fully understand the reason for this mitzvah. Hashem's understanding is way, way, way above mine. And even if there are svarim that attempt to give us some idea of reasoning for mitzvahs, to know that that's a drop in the ocean, that's a micro dot, compared to the reasons that Hashem had for giving us this mitzvah. And 99.999% of my reason for doing the mitzvah is because I believe in Hashem, I believe in the Torah, I believe that this is the right thing to do. V'alkein tzorich lahamid atzmai etz lemuna shehu Shabbos. And this is the reason why the person has to stand close to emuna, which is Shabbos. And then, if he first attaches himself to Emuna, to Shabbos, then he's zoiche to get to understand how to make the corrections for the Shekhinah that need to be made. Shehem mito v'shulchan v'kisei u'menoira hamuvoim shom b'may sanal, which means to straighten out, to make seder in the bed, the table, the chair, and the candelabra that are mentioned in the story over there, Shezocho haben melech oemes lesadram hetev, whereby the original prince, the true prince, is zoche to organize these items properly, al yidei shehoya meivin dovor mitoich dovor, through the fact that at one point in the story, he was given a special ability to understand things, to be able to understand how to derive A from B from A and C from A and B. That's what gave him the realization that he has to start with Shabbos. He has to start with faith. And then he was eventually to understand how to make Seder in all the other things. Because on Shabbos is when all aspects of the Shekhinah that require a tikkun get their tikkun. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'chol ze merumas b'hatoyra tiku beis. And everything we're saying now is alluded to in the second tiku chapter, which is actually chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran. The last 3 years of Rabbi Nachman's life, on Rosh Hashanah, he gave outstanding, every Rosh Hashanah he gave an outstanding shiur. But the last 3 years was something extraordinary, very elaborate, long, complicated shiurim. And those shiurim in Likutei Moran are found in chapters 1, 5, and 8. In the second half of Likutei Moran. So the chapter 5 is called Tikkun Emuna, where Rabbi Nachman discusses the topic of Emuna in great detail. And Rabbi Nezal says there, Shehoish Tevunois Megale Eitzois Shaideze Gedelo Emuna. Rabbi Nachman there says that there is a tzaddik who is called Ish Tevunois, the person who has a deep understanding. And he is zoiche to reveal advice, to bring advice into the world, to show people how to develop their emuna. Ukishemalin ho emuna, and when the emuna is elevated, tzrichin lahalois mibechinas hechtim lebechinas choisim digdusha. And Rabbi Nachman explains over there in that chapter of Likutei Moran that when a person elevates the emuna, he elevates it from a status of hechtim besoroi to a status of choysam digdusha. This is terminology that's used in that chapter relating to the topic of tikkun abris, tikkun amishpot, dahainu leshaber taivas niuf, which means, Rabbi Nachman says over there, for the person to succeed in breaking his wrong desire, his evil, his improper desire for women, bekoyach hamogine eretz, through the power of the mogine eretz, the special protectors of the world. Again, in that chapter on Likutei Moran, each one of these terms is discussed elaborately. And Rabbi Nezal says over there, Avol yesh gam lahamacholim chelik. However, what a person eats also plays a very important role in this process. Avol yesh shebo hapagam chas v'sholem midayonim she'enom hagunim shepoigim bekiso islamishpot. And Rabbi Nachman over there also has a paragraph where he says that at times, one of the things that causes the greatest problems to the Shekhinah is Pegam HaMishpot, when there are injustices being perpetrated. Vilozet Tzrichin Kishur HaMerkava. And when there's that type of problem, the solution to it is Kishur HaMerkava, attaching oneself to the throne of Hashem. Etc. Rav Nosson Zal here is throwing out small tidbits of that chapter on Likutei Moran, showing how they are related to this story in Sipurei Maaseiyos. V'zeh bechinas mito shulchan kisei u'menorah. And this is all tied into the bed, table, chair, and candelabra, which are mentioned in the story. Hu bechinas alias ho'emuna bi'atzma. It refers to the elevating the emuna, Shehi Bechinas Oyer, which becomes a concept of light. Bechinas, as the Gemara says, Bereisha Chashecha V'Hodar Nahoira, that when Hashem created the world, in the beginning there was darkness, V'Ha'orat Ha'isa Soyu V'Voyu V'Choshech, right? And then, Vayihi Oyer, Hashem made light. And now Rav Nosson Zal adds, V'Alkein Hadlokas Ner Shabbos He Taketh B'Knisas Shabbos. And it's for this reason that we bring in the Shabbos by lighting candles. Ve'ikar koyach shel ho'ish tevunois. So you see that there's a kesher to these four items in Shabbos itself. The menorah, the lighting the candles on Shabbos, and the other three items, the bed, the table, the chair are all hachonos of Shabbos, to set the table in a special way, and also to make one's bed. We say, those that say the Rabbona Shalom, right after Shalom Aleichem, in your Sidurim, there's a beautiful tefillah, Ribbono Shel Olam, and there it says that I changed my clothes, I made my bed special for Shabbos. V'ikar koyach shel ho'ish tvunois, hu al yidei shemetzachtzeach nishmosoi, al yidei achilosoi b'gdusha. And Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 5 in Likutei Moran again, that one of the things that gives this ish tvunois his ability to have such a deep level of understanding is the fact that he enlightens his neshama al yidei achilosoi b'gdusha, through the fact that his eating is on a very high level. Bebechina says, the pasuk says, v'hizbia betzachtzachos nafshecha. V'hizbia, you will be satisfied. Sviya means from food. You will eat in a satisfying way, and that will cause tzachtzachos nafshecha. That will cause your nefesh, your soul, to be mitzachtzeach, to sparkle, to shine, to glow. Rav Nosson Zal throws in, v'ze bechinas achila Shabbos. That alludes to the eating that's done on Shabbos, sheyikora ma'oid, which is very special on a spiritual level. Bechinas oineg Shabbos, the pleasure of Shabbos, oz tisanak al Hashem. As we mentioned earlier in a previous halacha, that when the Torah writes about the pleasure, the eating of Shabbos, it says, oz tisanak, then you will enjoy al Hashem. Al Hashem means literally above Hashem. Al Hashem daiko, bechinas tzachzachos, shehem lemala mehasfirois, shekluim b'shem Hashem kiyodua. Rav Nosson Zal says here that we know that the 10 spheroids, the 10 midos of Hashem, keser, chochma, bina, chesed, gvura, through malchus, they represent, they are a sample, an example of the light that emanates from Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. We've mentioned this in the past, that the Yud is Chachma, the Koitzai Shel Yud is called Keser, the first Hey is Bina, the Vav corresponds to the 6 spheroids, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and the last Hey is Malchus. The Zohar Kodesh and the Arizal explain exactly how each one of these spheroids is tied into Hashem's name. Now, a person could get the impression, therefore, that the highest level that could possibly be is Keser, the crown of Hashem, or Chachma, as it's referred to sometimes. But the Zohar Kodesh and the Arizal tell us that there's even above that. Above the spheroids, there's something that's called Tzachzachos. And again, Tzachzachos means sparkle. Literally, that's the literal translation. But obviously, it refers to a level of light that is so high that it's not even contained in any vessels. Each one of the spheroids, each one of these terms, Keser, Chochma, Bina, is referred to as a keli, a vessel into which Hashem placed his light, where the light is containable, the light is within certain boundaries. Whereas above the spheroids, you're talking about something that in a sense has less boundaries or no limitations, no constrictions at all. And one example of that is called this Oyer HaTzachzachos. So Rav Nosson Zal says here that when the Torah speaks about Shabbos and it says Oz Tisanag Al Hashem, that on Shabbos a Jew will rejoice, it could have said El Hashem. El Hashem means more literally with Hashem. Al Hashem means usually above. Al means on top of, above. Rav Nosson Zal says this is alluding to the fact that on Shabbos, a person makes contact with that light that's above the spheroids, that Oyer HaTzachzachos, as it's called. How? Through Achila Digdusha. There is a type of eating by which a person connects to, as we said in the previous halacha, He'ora Sarotzoin. There are different names for this. Sometimes it's called He'ora Sarotzoin, sometimes it's called Tzachzachos, sometimes it's called Oyer Ein Soif. All alluding to this highest, highest level of light. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas isur halametes malachos b'Shabbos." With this, we could understand why the 39 acts of work are forbidden on Shabbos. Ki kol hayegiyos shel kol alamites melachos hu shemiyagin atzmon lesakin kol minei umanus. The fact that a person is working during the 6 days of the week, basically, we can summarize all aspects of the work that people are doing. They're involved in tikkunim. They're involved in correcting, fixing things, making things. V'chol ze nishtalshel machmas hapegam shegu. And all of this is a result of the fact that the creation became defective. Shegoram, which caused she'ein hakisei sholem, that the throne of Hashem is incomplete. The Torah actually makes such a statement that at the end of Parshas Bishalach, when Amalek came to attack the Jews, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Yehoshua, Ki yod al keis ko, I place my hand on my throne. And the Gemara says, note that the word throne in Hebrew is kisei. Why is it called case? So the Gemara says that Hashem says, my throne is incomplete. And my name is incomplete. Ko, it says Yud He. It doesn't say Yud Ke Vav Ke, the full name of Hashem. Hashem says, my name is incomplete and my throne is incomplete until Amalek will be wiped out. Which means that Kaviyachol, the throne of Hashem, is not Mesudar, Koroi, Shenimshach Machmas Klipas Amalek, which is the result of the Klipa called Amalek. Zuamas Hanochosh, which is related to the filth of the snake, which the snake injected into the world as in getting Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And we said that Haman is mentioned by the Eitz Hadas when it says, Hamin ho Eitz Hazeh, did you eat from this tree that I told you not to? The word Hamin, Hey Mem Nun, the Gemara says we see Haman mentioned over there. So we see that Haman, Amalek, was involved even in the first Pegam of the Eitz Hadas. On a spiritual level, Shenishba Kodesh Baruch Hu, where the Gemara tells us that Hashem has sworn She'ein Hakisei Sholem, that his throne is incomplete and his name is incomplete until Amalek will be wiped out. Umishom Nimshach V'Nishtal She'el Pegam HaMishpot V'Pegam HaAmuna. And as a result of that Pegam, it manifests in itself in the world in all types of injustices and in all types of defective faith. People believing in the wrong thing, either people not believing whatsoever, or people believing in the wrong things. Ki ein mevinim tzadik v'toivloi, because one of the major mysteries in this world is that people don't understand, people don't see righteous people having a good life and wicked people having a bad life. On the contrary, in most cases, people see a topsy-turvy. They see people that are doing the wrong thing seem to be succeeding and wealthy and having a great time and famous, rich and famous. And the people, the good people or the best people, seem to go through a lot of insult and difficulty and suffering in this world. Because of the fact that justice, mishpot, has become turned upside down and exchanged. And right now we can't really understand all of this. It's all based on the fact that as a result of eating from the Eitz Hadas, it resulted in a pegam in mishpot, a pegam in emuna, umishom ikar pegam ho emuna, umachmas elu hachilufim vashinuyim shein shum dover al mekoimoi, tzrichim lesiyageya biyegiyis v'tirchos b'chol alametes melachos. And because of the fact that things are so out of whack, because of the fact that everything is out of place, this is part of the reason why people have to work throughout the 6 days of the week. There's a struggle in people doing all kinds of jobs, shehim b'chinas b'zeyas apecha, which are the aspect of a person sweating to earn a living, a livelihood. Be'itzavon toichalena, as the Torah says, right after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, you're going to have to struggle to earn a living. Ki kol halametes melochos mimishkon gamrinan. Because we know that the 39 acts of work are derived from the building of the Mishkan. V'chol meleches hamishkon hoyo lesader ulesakein kol elo atikunim anal. And the work that was done in the Mishkan was all related to making seder, to being mesakein, correcting and organizing everything that needs to be corrected and organized in this world. Shehem bechinas mita v'shulchan v'kiseu menorah, of which the four major symbols on a spiritual level of what needs a tikkun is the bed, the table, the chair, and the candelabra. Shekulam hayu b'mishkan, where we find that all four of these symbols were included in the Mishkan. Mita, the bed, zebchinas aroin hoedus, shoimed beveis kodesh hakodeshim. The bed is symbolized by the aroin, the holy ark, which was in the Holy of Holies. Shenikra cheder hamitos, which is given the nickname in Shir HaShirim or in another place, the kodesh hakodeshim is called the bedroom, kaviyachol, the bedroom of Hashem, cheder hamitos. So we see the bed being mentioned related to the Mishkan. Vize Mishkan Roshei Tevois Mita Shulchan Kisei Ner. And this is why the word Mishkan, which means the resting place of the Shekhinah, the Spirit of Hashem, the four letters Mishkan are the first letters of the four words Mita Shulchan Kisei Ner. And Rav Nosson Zal says Kimeduma Shezemavura Besforim. This is mentioned in Sforim. The Soifei Tevois, and the last letters of these four words, Mita Shulchan Kisener, spell the word Aharon, who was the Kohen Gadol, the person in charge of the Mishkan. Kikol Tikune Avoidei Seilu Hoyalidei HaKohanim, because the ones who were most involved in making the Tikunim in the Mishkan were the Kohanim. Shehem Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon, HaKohen Harishon, who was the first Kohen. Ubechoel, and during the 6 days of the week, Bechinas Shotu Ha'om Voloktu. The Pasuk says that the people went out to work. The people went out to pick the mon. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Voloktu Bishtusa. Why does it say Shotu Ha'om Voloktu? Because the 6 days of the week is a concept of Shtus, a lower level of Das than on Shabbos. V'alkein tzorech lirdoif achar ha-behemois b'yegiyas v'tirchois. And this is why we find in the story of the exchange children, at one point, this prince, the true prince, is forced to go to work, and he goes to work by somebody who's a shepherd, a certain type of shepherd, who's one guard. His job is to guard animals, and at one point, two of the animals escape, and he has to run after them to try to catch them and bring them back. And he goes running through a forest, chasing after these animals, and he's chasing them and chasing them, until at one point he meets somebody who says to him, "Why are you chasing after animals? Why are you chasing behemoths?" And that's the whole concept of a Jew during the 6 days of the week. He's on that treadmill. He's chasing, he's running and running. And a lot of what he's running is behemoths, you know, animalistic things, animalistic desires, animalistic. He's dealing, unfortunately, many times he's dealing with animals, people who don't conduct themselves in a right way or in a decent way. V'chol tikunoi. But eventually we find in the story that the main tikkun comes about al yedei Shabbos, through Shabbos. Shezocho al yedei shenase mevin dovor mitoich dovor, whereby the prince, as a result of his acquiring the ability to understand things well, and to be able to be told A, and to be able to derive B and C and D from it, bechinas ish tevunais, so that we see the prince becomes in this category of the ish tevunais that's mentioned in chapter 5 in the second half of Likut Imran, shemegala ha'emuna shibachina Shabbos, where Rabbein Ezal said over there in Likut Imran that the ish tevunais is the one who reveals etzos. He reveals advice, and the most powerful advice that he introduces is emuna. Just as we say in the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one of the most outstanding paragraphs in the Chazoras Hashatz is Atohu Hashem Elokeinu Gibor V'Narotz, and it goes according to the Aleph Beis. It says Dogol Mervova, that's Dalet, Husoch Vayehi, that's Hey, and then it says Vitziva V'Nevrohu Zichro LaNetzach, and the ayin and pay over there is in that special paragraph is Atzosoy Emuna Peulosoy Emes. Atzosoy Emuna means his advice. The most important advice that the tzaddikim and that Hashem gives us is emuna, have faith, believe. So that's what this is referring to here, Shehi Bechinas Shabbos. And the foundation of faith, the most powerful display of our faith in Hashem is Shmira Shabbos, you know, in keeping Shabbos. Rav Nosenthal writes here, Kol Hanal, everything we discussed here, Heim Roshe Prokim, is actually like short summaries, Mehilcha Shabbos, tied into the laws of Shabbos. This requires explanation and elaboration. Each one of these things, in Yitzhak Hashem, will explain in further parts of Likutei Halachos, just like the throne in the story of the exchange children, that eventually everything gets put in its right place. Shegam perush hamaisa hu kemoya kisenal, whereby the interpretation of the story is also like the throne, that it requires seder, kemoy shemavur shamas, as explained over there. Sheho ikar lesader hakoil hetev. In the story over there, there's a very important point made that the prince eventually sees that nobody needs to be thrown away, nothing needs to be destroyed. Things just need to be put in their proper place. If the right thing is on top, you know, if the guy who belongs on top is put on top, and the person who belongs under him is put under him, they can both function perfectly. There are many times people come into situations in life where it seems to them that this item is no good, it has to be eliminated. And in most cases, that's not necessarily the case. It's not a matter of eliminating, it's a matter of making seder. Things being put in their proper position. When people recognize where they belong, the Gemara says, "Ezeu chacham hamakiras mekoymoi," that one of the most important aspects of knowledge in life is for a person to know their place. When a person knows their place, they know what's expected of them, and they know what to expect of themselves and what not to expect, and they know what to expect of others. And that's one of the greatest tikkunim in life, in Yiddishkeit, and in life, bichlal. Hashem yazrenu, Hashem should help us be zoicha to get to this seder. Interestingly, while we're touching on that word, in a different place in the Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosenthal explains why the meal, the highlight of Pesach, is the seder night. And why do we call that meal a seder? Because of the fact that when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, One of the greatest problems was that they weren't really deserving of being taken out of Mitzrayim. To get to this Seder. Interestingly, while we're touching on that word, in a different place in the Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosenthal explains why the meal, the highlight of Pesach, is the Seder night. And why do we call that meal a Seder? Because of the fact that when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, One of the greatest problems was that they weren't really deserving of being taken out of Mitzrayim.